Tired of sugar-coated news and corporate spin? Check out The Nicole Sandler Show, speaking truth to power with the irreverence it deserves. Smart, fearless, and just the right amount of snark, Nicole breaks down the headlines, exposes the hypocrisy, and talks with the people working for real change. Weekdays at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific on Progressive Voices, NicoleSandler.com, Substack, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't just get the news, get the truth.
History is messy. It's weird, wild, and anything but boring. Rainy Day Rabbit Holes is a history podcast about unhinged stories that make you stop and ask, wait, is this real life?
From crazy disasters and tasty scandals to enlightening and surprising heartwarming tales, we explore the moments where people behave badly and sometimes beautifully.
We've got naughty politicians, cultural chaos, and a deep love for the Pacific Northwest, including Bigfoot.
It's thoughtful, irreverent, occasionally serious, and always entertaining.
Let's fall down the rabbit hole.
MSW Media.
Hey, Sal.
Hank, what's going on? We haven't worked a case in years.
I just bought my car at Carvana, and it was so easy. Too easy.
Think something's up?
You tell me. They got thousands of options.
Mm-hmm.
Found a great car at a great price.
Uh-huh.
And it got delivered the next day.
It sounds like Carvana just makes it easy to buy your car, Hank.
Yeah, you're right. Case closed.
Buy your car today on Carvana. Delivery fees may apply.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, one of my favorites is back. Easy like Sunday morning, Greg Oliar. He just got back from Germany. We have so much to talk about, but before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode just for patrons every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal, where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with Greg Oliar. Welcome back to the show, Greg.
It's very nice to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited you're here because I wasn't sure if you'd be able to make it. And you had, when I asked you, you told me, which I'm going to ask you about, that you just came back from Germany. Now, I remember the last time you were on my show, you talked about writing about the rise of Hitler and the comparison to what was happening in Germany and now. Now, was that trip having to do with that, or was it just for fun, or why'd you go to Germany?
No, it's work for my day job. There's a big coin show, so I was there for that. And gotcha. I go every year. I go to Germany every year. To Berlin around this time, but it was very cold, and this is the first, I guess it's not the first year of the second term, but the last year when I went, Trump had only been president again for a couple weeks.
And
it hadn't gotten as awful as it now is. And the vibe of the people that are Europeans that I talk to who are my friends there, you know, what they would say to me is, what's going on? Why is this happening? Like they weren't angry. They didn't feel betrayed. They were genuinely baffled at how the United States of America could fall prey to this obvious Kremlin mobster, charlatan, rapist, and let him basically crash the entire country and the Westphalian world order into the ground.
Yeah.
They just couldn't understand it. And I'm like, I don't understand it either. I mean, I do. I can tell you about the PSYOP and Facebook and Cambridge Analytica and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's just, we're in a nation of more gullible, non-introspective, cruel people than I realized, which is sad.
It is. And I mean, I always keep reiterating that the ongoing defunding of education was intentional. And, you know, it was taking us to this position. I don't know, you know, I don't know exactly what these people were thinking when, you know, let's just say in 1975 or in 1992 when they were defunding education. I don't think they were like, oh, you know, this is all leading up to some horrible person becoming president and you know, what's happening now. But there was always this effort to, I think, dumb down the population and then fill the population with lies, which is a, you know, something that Fox News does very well. But, you know, I'm just going to start this with my... It's not Pollyanna. I just want to be very straightforward. I don't believe this is Pollyanna. But I'm doing my best, I should say, to look at this situation and say maybe one of the reasons this is happening, you know, we have manifested this whole shit show. Clearly we have collectively, even if like you didn't and I didn't, as a country we did. And that's what Europe sees. They don't see individuals per se, even though they know there are individuals like us. They just see us as the United States, and the United States manifested this horrible man. But what's happening now is all of this really dark ugliness is being exposed. And, yes. You know, I try to find the opportunity in something awful. And, you know, obviously my first choice would be Kamala Harris. I would much prefer to have her as president. But none of this stuff would be coming out in the way it's coming out now. And I think we have a real opportunity, providing we do this right, to, you know, rewrite the country again. Because I think that's what human beings and Americans always do. We just keep rewriting ourselves. We fuck up and then we start over and then we fuck up and we start over. So I do feel like there is something, you know, to be hopeful for. And I want to get into that a little later, but I could get into it now because I actually want to talk to you about Pretty Good and Porter murdered by ICE and what happened in Minneapolis. So did you see that video that came down this morning of the fight?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh my God. Okay. So I do not know the fighting world. I don't know what WWE or whatever this was. It was two fighters.
Oh, this is where the people were chanting, fuck
yes,
ICE.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I did. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, it's not a sports team that's coming out against this, but it is a bunch of people who like to watch, you know, half naked men get in a ring and beat each other up. And they're screaming, fuck ICE. I think this is a really, really good sign. So I wanted to ask you about, like, obviously it's really fucking scary and there's scary shit coming because they're evil. But what are you feeling as far as what's happening with the people?
I think it's, you know, none of this is a surprise. We should say this. We've been talking about this. And I have been talking about this for literally years.
You've been writing about it, yeah.
The fact that we're now living in ICE Gestapo land and everything is mirroring Nazi Germany and we're literally building concentration camps. Yeah. This is all predictable. Mm-hmm. We all knew this was going to happen. So I think that there's probably a bottom that needs to be hit.
Right.
Before enough people wake up to what's happening. And maybe we're approaching that. I don't know. Maybe the Epstein stuff that continues to trickle out will help accelerate that process. But at the end of the day, there's no consequences. There's no ability even for us to hold them accountable. Like, I don't know what they could have done differently. I know Walz is doing a good job in Minnesota, and it's obviously the people in that state have figured out how to resist here, you know, in a way that's inspiring and everything else. But the guys that shot her and him should have been arrested by, you know, Minnesota State Police or whatever, or Minneapolis City Police, because it's a crime that they committed in the state. Yeah. That's not a federal crime. That's a state crime. It happened in the, you know, that it arrest them. And nobody's doing that. And I know it's obviously that's easier said than done to find out who these people are, which I think now we know who
now
they
we
are,
know. But, yeah.
And then to issue warrant for their arrest and then go get them or whatever. But until we start having a mechanism to do that, what's the point? I mean, people can be mad all they want. You know, people can say, oh, this is terrible. It is terrible. And we've been saying it's terrible for a long time, and too many people either are unaware of it or are okay with it. I had a horrible thought the other day when I was in Germany I was watching a video that the New York Times had made, a video package that had little kids who were classmates of what's his name? Luis Ramos, the boy who was, you know, the 5-year-old who was kidnapped by ICE and all that. And they were doing this video and just sort of reading letters that they had written to ICE and talking a little bit about the boy that was taken and all this other stuff. And there were maybe 5 or 6 kids that were featured in this video. And I'm watching this and I thought to myself, these kids are in danger. Mm-hmm. These children are doing something more courageous than most of the grown-ups in this country. And that made me so sad. I just started bawling. And I don't know what we're going to do about it. I really don't, because there just isn't a mechanism. You have people, you have like, my God, we're going to impeach Kristi Noem. What's the point of that? I just feel it's so futile. Like, by the time we get the votes to even do it, which we can't, you know, if we're going to impeach somebody, impeach Trump. Don't impeach. If we get rid of him, we get rid of everybody, at least in theory. It just seems like that the resistance, and I'm not talking about the people, I'm talking about the politicians now. They just are either not in positions of power enough, or are completely oblivious to what's happening, or to the, you know, to the danger of the threat that we're facing. Chuck Schumer, just how many times can I get a fucking text asking me for $5? I'm not giving you $5, man. I'm not giving you $5 until you do something.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, to fundraise on this is frankly repulsive. Do your jobs. I can't anymore with these people. They're just useless. And I know that not all Democrats, you know, there's plenty of people doing.
I know, I'm on your side.
Chris Murphy and AOC and whatever. There's obviously people doing good things. But the leadership is so sclerotic.
Yeah, it's the unity. We don't see the unity that we need from the party.
What the fuck are these people thinking?
Yeah.
And what's up with Schumer? Like, is he compromised?
I don't know.
What happened when he went to Roy Cohn's birthday party at Studio 54? You know, what was he doing there? As I'm honestly asking at this point, because at this point, if you're not, I mean, getting creative about how to get rid of these people, you know, legally, quickly, all this. And I've written a bunch of pieces now about this and nobody's doing anything. You know, one guy saying we're going to impeach Kristi Noem, that ain't going to cut it, man.
No, but let me ask you this. I'm trying to think, was there some, you know, as these horrible things are happening, in fact, I've got so many things to say and I don't want to get lost here, but there's a man that I listen to and I don't remember his last name. His name is Daryl. He's a black man on YouTube and he's not like a pundit, you know, he's just an average guy and he's just weighing in. And I watched something he said a couple of weeks ago, and I believe it was after the death of either Renee, I don't know if Alex Pretty had yet been murdered, but he said more white people are going to have to die. And he's like, you know, I don't want anyone to die. I'm just saying, black people know what's going on. We've been going through this. And, you know, now they're starting to kill white people and more white people are going to have to die for other white people to wake up to what's happening. And I agree with that. Unfortunately, I don't want that to happen.
Too.
But we all understand how everything works. And so there's that. Okay. And as ICE, as Donald Trump, whatever, you know, this regime continues to make people uncomfortable. And that's really the key. If you can't afford to pay for your kids' insulin, if you can't afford groceries, these things are making people uncomfortable. And so every day, more and more people in this country are getting uncomfortable. I think the way we fight this effectively, and we have to wait for leadership from places like Indivisible, but is to do, you know, general strikes. Obviously, it wouldn't necessarily be the whole country, and maybe it would be targeted strikes. Maybe, you know, we saw in Minneapolis, they shut down the airport. I understand this is a very difficult undertaking because people need to work. They're afraid to get fired. They don't want to make political statements. However, there are a number of people, and as things progress and the more uncomfortable we get, I think there might be an opportunity where we can, because I think that's, you know, we're not going to stop them with violence. Violence isn't going to stop violence, but we could stop them if, and it's a big if, and it's a big ask, but with a series of strikes, whether it's not working, not shopping, closing down airports, closing down, you know, if we start seeing, perhaps it could start, because it started with the audience in the fight that was calling for, saying, fuck ICE. If we could see sports teams, we're starting to see a little bit more celebrity. So like bleeding out into pop culture, do you think that there's a chance that we can beat them in that way?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, the concept of this big general strike is hard for me, for my brain to grok. Mm-hmm. And remember when Jimmy Kimmel got whatever he got? Did he get fired? I can't even remember. He got suspended because he made a mm-hmm. Trump joke, and then everybody boycotted yeah. Disney for like a week. And that worked.
Yeah.
It worked. And I was surprised that it worked. I was surprised that organically enough people went out and hit these guys so that they had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that made me rethink, I think, my position on it. The problem mm-hmm. with a general strike is that, unlike in Europe, you know, people's health insurance are tied right. to their job.
Right.
So, and also, you know, there's no unions here, really. Everyone's at work, at whatever it's called, where you could just get fired and that's it. It's the risks involved with doing right. that are so vast. And it's not just you, it's also your family. It's hard. Yeah. It's a big ask.
It
also,
is a big ask.
The United States is huge. It's a big country. If we lived in Georgia, the country, we could all go to Tbilisi and protest, because right. there's one big city, you know, maybe there's two, whatever. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. that's where you go. Here, there's so many places to go. It's like, even going to Washington, D.C. and filling it, like, I don't know. The press is just going to ignore it. They are.
But
that's
I
what
think,
happens.
You know,
every
but
time
I
there's
think,
a no
and you're right.
They ignore it.
You're right that the press is going to ignore it. But I think that the press is falling apart in front of our eyes. And of course, it's very upsetting. You know, I try to come from this place of, okay, it's all falling apart. We're watching it all fall apart. However, there is an opportunity. I mean, there are opportunities throughout history whenever, whether it was the United States or any country came under some kind, you know, going through. I mean, nobody's necessarily gone through what we're going through right now, because we do have a unique situation. But in a way, it isn't, because, you know, the whole reason we started this country and stole it from the Native Americans was to get away from the oligarchs. So this is a battle that was fought before. It's just fought in different times. We have different technologies, and it's much more vast, and it's spreading out. And it looks like Epstein could even be involved in, you know, in this whole thing with the right wing rise. But I don't know.
No, he definitely was involved in
yeah.
that. Yeah.
But it's something that, you know, like I said, it's not anything we've ever experienced before, but it is. And I just think that at some point, because there's no way we can sustain, I think we either go off into a full fascist country, which is difficult for me to imagine based on the indoctrination most Americans get as far as we're a free country and we're, you know, life, liberty, and all that stuff. I also recognize the other side of that coin, where we just kind of are lazy, or we're not motivated until we're uncomfortable. But we are seeing people rise up. We are seeing, you know, and I get what you're saying, because if the leadership isn't holding anyone accountable, what good is it standing in the street? But I do think there is good to it, because we've figured it out in past situations, whether it was, you know, overcoming slavery. And yeah, I mean, blood was shed and there was cruelty, but we overcame it. And I don't know. I have this, I think that we're going to overcome it, but I don't know how. And that doesn't mean that I think that the road to overcoming it is going to be easy. And obviously people are dying and losing healthcare, and horrible things are happening to everyone, children. It does, you know, it doesn't matter what color you are. It's worse for people of color, but clearly we can see it doesn't matter what color you are. These are just Nazi Gestapo ICE. But I just have this feeling, and I don't know. It sounds like maybe you don't have this feeling that we're going to overcome. You're just thinking, I'm not sure.
Well, I don't want to. I'm a hopeful guy by nature, as
right.
you know. And I get all that. But the people, I wrote my book, Rough Beast, which foretold of all this shit happening when
yeah.
if Trump got elected. And I published it in, when was the election year? 2020, it was May of 2024.
Okay.
Right? What year is this? 26. I'm still writing 19 before the year names, by the way. I can't. My brain still hasn't quite adjusted to the 20 at the front of this. And the people that I was quoting and listening to in my book were all right about the fascist stuff happening. They were all much more certain about it than I was. I even as I was writing that book, I didn't really think this would happen. Okay. I wrote it because I knew that if this, then that, but I never thought that we would be down this path. I just didn't. And who are two of the people? Bryn Tannehill is one. And she wrote a piece, I think at Byline Times a couple of weeks ago, basically saying it's already over because the chances of a Democrat succeeding Trump as president are vanishingly small. Like to actually be seated in the office because, and then she listed all of the fuckery that's happening already. Tulsi Gabbard's down there screwing around in Georgia. Like it's over. They've already fucked with and I'm not talking about like on that TV show Scandal where they put a little thing in the voting machine. And I'm talking about voter suppression. I'm talking about they're going to send ICE out in the streets to rough people up. Like it's all of that is real. And then even if somebody runs and wins, Trump will put them in jail. Like we have a DOJ and an FBI that are just run by just flat out traitors,
Yeah,
Trump
but
loyalist
well, Trump
traitors.
won't do it because I think by 2028, I don't know that he'll still be walking
Alive?
around.
I well then Vance will. So there's that, and then there's a guy named, I think his first name is Robert Kagan, and he wrote a thing in November of 2023 in the Washington Post, RIP Washington Post, I think it was the Washington Post, where he was basically saying we are so, and this is a conservative, guy that has very well respected on the what used to be the intellectual right, and saying we're so far down the path that we're like basically just about there, and if we don't do something about it right now, we're doomed. I'm paraphrasing, but he wrote that in November of 2023, and I didn't read this, but apparently he wrote a follow-up this week, basically saying, "Yeah, we're fucked. It's over. The ball game is it's done. It's over." So these are two people that I looked at while I was writing my book, who predicted this from ha to predicted that this would happen, and they were right. And now they are saying these are the next things that are going to happen. So I don't know why I wouldn't listen to those two people in the analysis, especially when all of the evidence around me and all of the reading that I've done about Nazi Germany and in the 30s and all this stuff and the eerie, awful parallels that we are seeing. Obviously, it's not the same thing, but it's, history rhymes, whatever. And they're clearly emulating the Nazis. That's what they're doing, intentionally so. And you've got all this stuff. I mean, it's hard for me to, I don't want to lie to people and be like, everything will be great. I say we shall prevail, and I'm trying to speak that into existence. But I at the moment, I see very few ways out. And you're right. If we can get all the people in the street and shut everything down for a couple of weeks, that might do it. It might. If we can hit at their money. Because it's not Trump and those guys. It's the people with the money behind the scenes. Once they start losing their fucking money, then everybody gets uncomfortable and maybe they'll make a change, which is disgusting to me. Just morally reprehensible, just in a way that makes me furious. But I don't know how that happens. I mean, I've proposed a plan to fix this by getting rid of Mike Johnson, which, by the way, one vote. He's got one vote now, I believe, right? That's keeping him in the majority. We have, two, three people defect to our side. We can change the Speaker of the House and make it anybody we want, and we make it whoever we can. Let's make it Jerome Powell. Everybody likes Jerome Powell now. He's not going to be lobbying for power. He can clearly do the job. And I've seen Mark Carney. I want that, man. Make him Speaker of the House and then impeach Trump and Vance, or better yet, throw in the bill authorizing them to actually be able to hold office under the 14th Amendment. Because under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, they're not fucking eligible to even be there because they ran an insurrection. And Vance wasn't there that day running the insurrection, but he's running it now.
Right.
So I think my argument would be none of these people have any basis to be here. The Constitution says we must vote majority, just simple majority, or no, excuse me, two-thirds majority in the House and the Senate. And the Senate. And if they don't get the votes, they ain't president anymore. Mm-hmm. And then the Speaker of the House becomes president and can undo all this shit. These are things that can happen and things that can work.
Yeah.
Chuck Schumer. Sorry.
I know.
Chuck Schumer could have done this right after the election when the Democrats still held the fucking Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Just put the vote in. Trump would have lost. And then I don't know what would have happened. Probably would have gone to the Supreme Court and John Roberts would have, you know, figured out some way to countermand it, but like at least try something. It's not even a wild idea. He literally did an insurrection and he's not allowed to be president.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Full stop. There's nothing complicated about it. There's no, what's the word I'm looking for? It's clear as a bell.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing vague about the language. It's unequivocal. He is not allowed to be president right now unless he has permission from Congress. And Congress hasn't voted on it. So vote on it.
Mm-hmm.
All we have to do is get the bill to the floor in one of the bodies and not vote two-thirds. And he's out legally. I don't know who's going to take him out. I'm thinking maybe the military would because I don't think they like him at all. I know that I don't like that Hegseth guy. I can feel the Drakkar Noir, you know, with him.
He's so disgusting. I fucking hate that guy. I barely even know his name. I know it's Hegseth, but it took me like a year before I would even commit his name to memory. So yeah, there are certain people in this administration. Well, I'm sorry, regime. Who mm-hmm. I can't. You know, everything is. I've told you this, but like everything has changed for me in 2024 because it was like, all right, I just don't feel like, not that I thought that this Start Me Up podcast was like going to change the world. I really did not think that. However, you know, we all do our little part. You know, we play our little part. And so I was just so discouraged because I thought, you know what? Nothing any of us said. People smarter than me, people with bigger reaches than me. It didn't fucking matter. It just didn't fucking matter. And so, you know, we're all just screaming to each other. We're screaming to the choir. And it really is going to take getting outside of this bubble. And I want to bring in Robert Reich did say, he said, I think it was Tuesday, I saw a video that he felt good because he said, you know, there's like, how did he phrase it? You know, people are waking up. There's a big sleeping giant and they're starting to wake up and they're starting to realize because they're uncomfortable. And I totally agree with everything you're saying. And I understand all of your logic. And I don't know how this is going to go. I mean, I don't feel like I have some intuition about it other than I just cannot go into the mindset that we're going to choose fascism. I do know that the road is going to be very upsetting. It already is. You know, I mean, there's somebody who I've interviewed on my show multiple times, Jared, of course, now his name is escaping me and I'll remember it in a minute. But he is a Jared Yates Sexton.
Yeah.
Yes. And he is a like an authoritarian expert. And what one of the last things that he wrote was about how we're going to overcome ICE. And he actually, you know, he didn't sugarcoat it. And every time I have him on my show, he scares the shit out of me. And he scares the shit out of all of my listeners because he basically tells the truth and the truth that we didn't want to hear. And I don't even think I had him on in 2024 because I was too afraid of what he was going to say. And then, you know, it's like everything he's been predicting has come to pass, just as you're talking about when you were writing your book. But, you know, this guy seems to believe that we will prevail and it's going to be hard and blah, 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 blah. We always have to say that, but it's true. And I do think we will. And I don't know how it's going to go. And I think that the whatever solution it is not readily available to us. And I think you're right. You know, I mean, Chuck Schumer, I can't fucking stand him. He drives me nuts. But I feel like, okay, so I want to move this into the Epstein files because I don't know if the Epstein files are going to be what people want it to be. as far as, you know, the end of Donald Trump. And I also kind of want to take this into Sasha Riley and see what you're thinking and something I just recently saw on him. But with all of these dumps coming out and this news coming out about, you know, putting, you know, Donald Trump in a position of not only raping children, but possibly murdering them or having them murdered, that he is losing some support from people like Joe Rogan, some other fighter guy who used to be Trump has now called him a pedophile publicly. So we are starting to see, you know, some fracture, real fracture as a result. But we're finding out that people like Deepak Chopra and Noam Chomsky, and I mean, it's not surprising to find out Woody Allen, but, you know, we're finding out some of these huge people are involved, whether it's celebrities or world leaders and whatnot, and we're getting details of it. Now, how do you think this lands after America sits with it for a little while? Because I think a lot of people in this country still have no idea about the latest dump.
I think that's true. And just to be clear about that, before I answer the Epstein question, like, I don't mean to like throw water on anything. I think everybody needs to resist in the way that they can. And,
yes.
And ultimately that's all we can do, you know, and I'm going to keep doing that until I can't anymore.
Right.
There's a great quote. I was reading a book, about Winston Churchill, who during the Second World War was, you know, England was getting its ass kicked. And he basically was like, here we go. Here's the quote. He was trying to keep Britain afloat. And he did it through words and through language. And it mattered. He did speak it into existence. And there was people there in a cabinet meeting. There were people there that wanted to, you know, negotiate for terms with Hitler to surrender. And he stood up and he said, if this Long Island story of ours is to end at last, let it end only when each one of us lies choking in his own blood upon the ground.
Wow.
So he wasn't fucking around. And,
no.
And I you know, tattoo that on my fucking arm because I yeah, I feel that way.
Yeah.
Because we cannot allow the occupation to happen.
Right.
Once it sets in, you know, you're right that it will, you know, it will fall eventually.
Yeah.
Dictatorships always do.
But when? Like, is it 40 years or is it?
Yeah. Franco was in Spain for 40 years or whatever it was. So, yes, these things can last a good long time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if he has support. It doesn't matter if Joe Rogan likes him. If there's the whole country is occupied by a literal, you know, military police.
Yeah.
And people are ratting out their neighbors for violating the dear leaders. You know, it doesn't take much.
Mm-hmm.
Palantir has us under surveillance all the time. Nobody can do anything anywhere privately, I think, anymore at all. It's not going to be hard for them to ramp this up after it gets past a certain point. So
right.
I have offered my solution. My solution is very easy, and all it requires is a tiny bit of creative thinking and political will.
Yeah,
that's all I can do. All I can do. Okay, moving on to your question. About the Epstein files. There's a lot there. It's so, like, I've written a lot about this. So anybody that's listening to this that wants to know about what I think about it and what I've learned, I wrote a 4-part series called Infrequently Asked Questions About Jeffrey Epstein on my Substack. And I just this week, if you just go to gregoliar.substack.com, I have an index page, which is all the stuff I've written about Epstein. And it's extensive. It's effectively a book, you know? And I go through in the Q&A, and it's written in that format because I feel like it's easier to parse that way and for people to process it, including me, because there's so much out there.
Yeah.
And what people are looking for, I think, or what a lot of people are looking for is some sort of smoking gun. Like, okay, mm-hmm. is there a video of Trump doing this? Probably. Are we going to see it? Probably not.
Right. That's what I think Russia has.
Yeah. Well, Putin and you know, let's start with who Epstein was, okay? There's people now, it's driving me nuts too. People like on things like Epstein is Mossad. No, he's not. He's not Mossad. First of all, it's the wrong fucking intelligence agency. He's connected to Amman, which is the military intelligence agency, which used to be run by Ahud Barak, his buddy. That's why he knows him from years ago, because they've worked at the damn intelligence agency together. Even though the New York Times says we can't seem to find any ties between Jeffrey Epstein and foreign intelligence. Other than the fact that one of his best friends used to run the Israeli military. And so other than that, fucking people. Anyway, so you have people declaring he's Mossad and he's, you know, whatever. He's the KGB. Jeffrey Epstein is a mercenary. All he cared about was himself. He did whatever he thought would make him money and advance his agenda, or advance whatever would pay him the most or give him the most, whatever it was that calculated that. He had no ideology. He didn't give a shit. He would work for the Russians if they paid him better than the CIA or whoever. That's just who he was. He was a mercenary. Mm-hmm. And he had a lot of connections and he had a lot of power, mm-hmm. because he was at the center of this great nexus of lots of different things. Obviously, all the intelligence services, offshore banking and finance, larger finance and banks, like super big banks like JP Morgan and Deutsche Bank, the entire tech, you know, big tech community, through John Brockman, who is a literary agent that represents all of these kind of like sciencey smart guys and girls, you know, and, mm-hmm. and they, I mean, girl like woman, not like, I should clarify that when we're talking about Epstein, who would have these billionaire breakfast events and bring all these people together, and Epstein would be there. So he would know everybody. He would know what was going on in technology. He would figure out where to invest. He would then give this knowledge to other people. So he was in with that group. He was in with, you know, colleges and universities. He was in with the nuclear stuff. You know, that's why he was down in New Mexico, so close to you know, Los Alamos and all that. There's lots of weird nuclear shit going on right now, by the way, where, you know, Epstein was in on that. The Trump media company just bought acquired a company that deals in plasma fusion, which is basically nuclear weapon-y stuff. Mm-hmm. So all of those worlds he sat in the center of, and everybody knew it. So if you wanted to have, you know, something happen or meet somebody or do this, and this is what comes out in the emails. It's, hey, Jeffrey, I need to do this. No problem. Email Leslie. And then it would be done, presumably, mm-hmm. no matter what. Oh, Ehud Barak, you want to meet Jamie Dimon? We can set that up. You want your daughter to go to we can set that up. Mm-hmm. You know, he just sat in the middle of all that stuff. And after a while, that becomes super powerful because there's only so many people that can do that job. Mm-hmm. And if he hadn't been so in on the sex trafficking, the child sex trafficking, and then, you know, and the sex trafficking, he probably would still be doing all this stuff. Hmm. All the financial stuff, all the tech stuff, all the,
yeah.
The way that we see in the movies, there's like this cabal of evil people that run everything. That's who he is. And that's apparently what was happening. And the fact that, you know, when we say it and try to articulate it, we all sound like we're crazy or, you know, well, that's like some movie.
Yeah.
And, well, okay, well, who produced the movies? Who paid for some of the movies to be made? You know, one of the ways that intelligence agencies hide what they're doing is they want to promote that, so that when somebody says this happens, they can say, well, that just sounds like the movie. Can't be real. It's in the movie. Even though the movie is based on something that's whatever. Mm-hmm. You get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all, it's a lot to grasp. And it happened over many decades. And Trump was an intimate part of this. What exactly he did, we don't know yet. He definitely was in on the you know, rapey activity. I have no doubt about that. Why would he be there otherwise?
Yeah.
You know, certainly was involved with some of the shady financial shit. And for all we know, was also involved with the actual trafficking. I mean, we know he had girls, this time I mean actual girls, at Mar-a-Lago that were, you know, Ghislaine would come and check out, and then, you know, that, how is that not trafficking? If you're like bringing right. Eastern European girls to Mar-a-Lago so that Ghislaine can then pluck them out of the job to do, that's what it is, but there's a lot more there potentially. But the big smoking gun thing, I think it's also complicated that unless there is a thing that is so clearly real and,
yeah.
Unequivocally awful, that would maybe do it. And I don't even know, Kimberly, I don't even know anymore what would do it.
Yeah, I
I
know.
don't even know.
I don't know either. I don't know if there would be something called a smoking gun because the internet has fractured us so much. You know, we all live in our own little area of that internet bubble. And yeah, I mean, there are people that will figure. I mean, it's just interesting to me that when this latest dump happened, we would literally see Donald Trump and Bill Clinton in the same sentence, and the right would only focus on Bill Clinton.
Right.
So
Well, you know, he
where
is
the
the
left was
president of it.
focusing
Oh,
on
right.
both. Pardon
Right.
me?
Oh, right. He is the president. Oh, wait. No, he's not. He hasn't been the president in many years. This entire century, in fact.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
now the thing that I find encouraging is that the Europeans are starting to play ball here.
Yeah.
Poland is going to investigate this. I think the UK is going to investigate it. I think France is going to investigate it. We're going to see stuff.
Yeah.
Poland is not going to fuck around. They
Right.
are
And
not
I think there's
subservient to the
something,
Kremlin.
I think there is something, and I don't know what. And I this is not my area, but I do think there is something to foreign countries. And it's not that that's we're not going to have traditional world wars. It's not like we're going to see what happened with Nazi Germany. We're not going to see that. It's a completely different world. However, I do think that, you know, the countries, other countries are going to get fucked over, and they're getting fucked over right now. So it's really self-preservation. And it's really self-defense. So it's not like, hey, we're going to go over and protect Americans. It's we're going to protect ourselves. And I don't know
Exactly.
what that's
Well
going to
put.
look like. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's not going to be like they're going to come bombing or, you know, invading our country or anything like that. It's just, it's going to be something. And I do have hope because I agree with you. I'm hopeful there.
If European press, like legitimate European press reports on stuff, if there's a tape, let's say there's a tape of Trump killing somebody, which has been proposed that there's snuff films, right? You know, our friend Sherry Jacobus has she's been saying this for years,
That's what she
honestly.
thinks, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, Sherry's rate of being right about stuff is very high. So,
Yeah, I mean, I would say this. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what's happened,
yeah.
but I'm just comfortable enough saying I absolutely believe there's video of Donald with children.
I think
And that's
we've seen it.
allegedly. I
Yeah.
don't know it's true. I think that's enough as far as what we need to know. And like, because he's the kind of person that since he, and you know, I mean, maybe he did things when he was younger, but as he's gotten older, he's become the person who delegates. So I
Yeah.
don't know that he would actually do something himself unless it were an accident. And they did talk. There was something in the Epstein files about a violent fetish that turned into, you know, murders.
There's also, I mean, Virginia Giuffre has
Yeah.
talks about, there's stuff that's there, but it doesn't matter
Right.
with it. Let's say there is a video that we know is real of Trump
Yeah.
doing something
Bad,
unspeakably
but
awful.
yeah.
And everybody's reporting on it, and we don't see it, but we see screenshots of it
Yeah.
enough that we know that it's him and that he's in a position that cannot be explained away. He'll deep fake it, he'll blame the
Yeah.
Clintons or whatever he'll do. But if enough of leg if the European legacy media covers it, if the BBC covers it, if Al Jazeera covers it, it's going to be hard for our media
Right.
companies not to cover it.
Right.
They'll try. They'll try not to cover it. I guess you know who's not going to cover it? CBS News or Fox.
Exactly. CBS, Fox, and Newsmax. Yeah, we won't get
Yes,
those.
and on and on. And Washington Post now apparently,
Right.
on and on it goes. New York Times, we flip a coin with them. But that to me is the most hopeful thing. But again, even if it comes out, even if all this stuff comes out,
I
and we
know.
know Trump is this, so what? What are we going to do about it? Are we
Yeah.
going to give Chuck Schumer $5? Are we going to impeach
I'm
him for real?
gonna give
Are we going to
Trump
allow a
five
vote on
dollars.
it to impeach the guy who's the
Yeah.
child rapist in the White House? Are we really okay with do it? And if it gets to that far, are the Republicans in the Senate going to actually vote to remove him? Are they going to be that, I mean, you
Yeah.
know, pot committed, as they say.
Right.
You know, Tommy Tuberville will vote for him no matter what.
Right.
You know, somebody like that. But, you know, are somebody like Ted Cruz or Josh Hawley that, you know, basically they blow with the wind, as he says in Casablanca, and the prevailing wind comes from Vichy. everything in the world happening right now could be summed up in a line from Casablanca, by the way.
Probably, yes, yeah.
It's so ridiculously on point that it's uncomfortable. I've strayed far away from your question.
That's okay. That's okay. I want to take you over to Sasha Riley now. Now, before we even talk about Sasha Riley, I want to say, I don't know. I've already talked about him on my show. I don't believe there is enough evidence that backs up everything. I think that it's important that we listen. And I think it's important that, you know, if people can find out, because his whole thing is like, hey, I'm giving you this information, which evidently has been for years. It's been since, I guess, Trump's first term. We're just hearing about it now, but it's been coming out. And I know that individuals, as opposed to, and I can't speak for anybody in the journalistic world, but I know individuals are trying to find out what they can and, you know, uncover some of this stuff. And, you know, I'm absolutely not going to say what he's saying is true because I don't know. I don't know. And it's very, it's just major. You know, it's like it's major, it's horrible, it's unbelievable. And so I'm just going to fill in my listeners a little bit, and then I want to hear what you have to say. So one of the allegations that he's making is that he was in, you know, his father adopted him to put him to sell him off to people like Jeffrey Epstein. And so in this one particular, you know, I didn't listen to all of the tapes, but I know the gist of it. So he, as a little boy, was forced to have sex with a little girl, and I believe they filmed it, and then they murdered the little girl in front of him, and then he knew Trump was to come in to the room and basically, you know, do what he wanted with him, and he claims that Trump was into like psychological torture as well as physical, and that was part of it. And so he was in a rage. He claims he was in a rage. And I don't know how old he was at this time, 13, 14, something like that, 12. I don't remember. But so he knew Trump was going to come in. He wanted to kill Donald Trump. This is what he's saying. And he found a tent stake. He put a condom on it. And I guess inserted it because Trump wanted it, right? Wanted anal sex. And so he inserts it a little bit with the condom on it, and then kicks it into Trump's anus. And evidently, Trump had to be airlifted out. And then people are trying to put this together with all the news we're hearing about his incontinence. And then that crazy doctor who I can, Borstein or whatever his name was, who was his office was raided because people want to see if they can find, you know, any kind of hospital records or any kind of records on this. But, you know, the Trump's goon came in and raided that office, and then eventually he died. So this person that I watched yesterday, and of course, I don't have any names, I'm sorry, but it was just a guy who's got 150,000 followers on YouTube, and he does kind of a news show. He's a gay gentleman, and he was talking about how some people have done some, they've done some searches, and they found certain things. Like evidently there was Sasha saying he was in the military, and some guy said that he saw Sasha in a child sex video, and you know, he says yes. And so I guess this part of this has kind of been corroborated. And then another woman found out that, yes, the father of Sasha, as Sasha says, was a pilot for people like Jeffrey Epstein. Not enough to prove anything, but this story isn't going away. And I cannot say myself what I think, but I think it's worth paying attention to. So I'm just wondering what you're thinking about all of this.
I mean, I think you did a very good job of explaining everything, including the tent thing. I mean, and that's to me, I have no doubt that he's sincere, and I have no doubt that he was traumatized.
Right.
There's no question
about
that.
But is it like, is he remembering wrong because he was traumatized?
That's the question.
Right.
And that's not intentional either.
Right.
I mean, I have gotten notes from people and been in communication with people over the last 8 years who are very sincere and have stories to tell. And I listen to the stories, and I halfway through, I'm like, yeah, this isn't a thing.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a video of some woman on Instagram that somebody earthed up talking about, you know, I was there and I was raped by, it was Donald Trump and Clinton and George W. Bush or H.W. Bush. I'm like, no, stop.
No,
you know, like, but that she meant it.
Yeah.
You know, in her mind, that happened. So
right.
I don't.
So she's not a liar, but it didn't necessarily happen.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's the thing with this. And, you know, again, we want to believe what people are saying who have been abused this way, and we want to protect them and all of that stuff. To me, there's a couple of things that make my antenna go up. Mm-hmm. First is that there's multiple people that we now know who they are. Then Jim Jordan is in mm-hmm. there. What's is it? Andy Biggs.
Yeah.
So it's three people who are currently politicians in Washington.
That's a little strange. Yeah.
That to me seems, and he's living in like Oklahoma or something. And
evidently
then
he's not out of the country now.
Well, no, at the time.
Oh, okay.
When he's these people are all going to Oklahoma.
Right.
That part of it to me doesn't ring true.
Yeah.
But the main thing is that thing, look, if you take a 9-inch spike like that, whether or not it has a condom on it, and put it in someone's and kick it really hard, they're probably going to be dead, you know? And I really would like to get beyond that, but maybe he did need to get airlifted. Maybe he did all that. But if he got airlifted, how old was he? Because Donald Trump was in the news all the time.
Right.
Somebody will know about it.
Right.
His family would know about it. His friends would.
And it would be easy to put, because Sasha, we know how old he is now, and he's claiming he was whatever age. It would be easy to figure out what year that was if he didn't
know. Now he's
say
in
it.
Oklahoma. Ace Greenberg's from Oklahoma City. That's Trump's one of his mentors, a guy that he was involved with financially. This is the guy that basically discovered Jeffrey Epstein and set him on the path. So there are, it's not like there's no ties to Oklahoma.
Right.
There are. It's a very important tie to Oklahoma, in fact. But that piece of it to me just seems, in my mind, it's too much for me to believe at fate without more proof.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm not saying he's a liar. I'm just saying I need a little more to really,
Right. Yeah, because there's the whole PSYOP angle, which, again, I'm not saying that this is actually what's happening. And I don't think any of us at this point can say what's happening regarding Sasha Riley. But, the paranoid side is like, well, what if this is an intentional PSYOP? I mean, again, Sasha has been talking since at least Trump's first term. So it's not like all of a sudden this is new. This is just new to us. But
I found the tweets. You can go on Twitter. You can go on my Blue Sky and look at the media, because I have the tweets there screenshotted.
Right.
From, the first term. Anyway, go ahead.
So, but just the idea of, I forgot what I was saying. What was I saying?
Sasha, the tweet, that he's been saying this for a long time.
Yeah, I can't remember my main point. But ultimately, it doesn't matter, because I think that, I want to go back to the believe thing, because I'm a very, I knew there was going to be trouble with the trust women thing, because sometimes women lie. We're human beings. It's not like women are immune from lying, especially when it comes to politics. And, we all know whatever her fucking name is, and I have erased it from my mind, but the woman—
Tara Reid.
Yes, Tara Reid. Thank you very much. So when this happened, it was that, we got that thrown in our face. Oh, believe women, believe women. Well, we don't believe her. No, but what we did do, and what I did do, and many of us did, is we took her seriously. And I think that's important. We have to take every single person who's claiming that they were abused or hurt or whatever seriously. But that doesn't mean we have. Especially when it's attached to politics, we need to vet and really, validate and make sure, and not just take someone at their word, because then the right just comes screaming, "You said to believe women." And it's like, I wish we would just say, take them seriously, because that's what needs to be done. When you report that your house has been burglarized, you want to be taken seriously. And it's, there's always an investigation that has to go on and find out what's going on. And that's the case here. So I want to be clear about that.
This is a good point, too, because it leads into some of the things that are in the Epstein files that released in this last dump. The FBI takes the thing seriously. Mm-hmm. When people call in with a tip, they write it down, they honor it, they look into it, they follow up. And a lot of what's in the files now and a lot of what you're reading in the media are FBI tips. They're records of tips that people called into the FBI. And some of those tips may be true. A lot of them probably are not, because they followed up or tried to and couldn't either gave the wrong phone number. They couldn't correct, you know, couldn't confirm that this happened or that happened or whatever. You know, I read one thing that said, oh, well, you know, there was this thing that happened and people are buried on the Donald Trump golf course in Palos Verdes in California. And this was in 1985, whatever. It was like the mid 80s. Well, he didn't own the fucking golf course until like 2002. So that ain't true. It's just not. He didn't own the golf course at the time that this is supposed to have happened. Now, maybe there's another golf course. Maybe they're buried there anyway, and they're saying it in the present tense. But when you get something factually wrong in that, and then also they try to follow up and couldn't. But people are reporting those stories like they're absolutely real. And maybe they are. But, you know, what you said is true. We have to honor the people calling and take them seriously until such a time as it's been determined that we no longer have to. And there's going to be, because these guys are in charge of releasing the files. They're going to keep doing it. They're going to trickle it out. And they're figuring out what to release at this time. And a lot of the stuff that's going to come out is going to be red herrings and misdirection stuff. And what they want, I think, is for something in the files to get everybody's ire up and everybody to make a big deal about it in the left-wing media, and then it turns out to be bullshit.
Be nothing. Right.
That's the other thing that we, you know, you and me especially, have to guard against.
That's what talking about with Sasha Riley. Yeah. Like, what if it's like a psyop? That's what I forgot what I was saying.
Now, he's not in the files as far as I know.
No, but the idea of like, and I don't really think this is about what he's doing, but the idea of he puts this out, all this, you know, salacious information, and then we find out it's not true. And if everybody jumps onto it and believes it, and if media picks up on it, and, you know, and then it's not true, then everybody looks, then what do you believe when the truth comes out?
So, exactly. And this is what authoritarians like this do. They try to destroy the truth, as we know. And this is a part of that. And it's the files are annoying. There's so much there. It's hard to search. You know, you who's vetting this? That like, I probably know not more about these files and Jeffrey Epstein and all of this than 99.9% of the people in this country. And I don't know shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like, who's even going through them and learning all this stuff? And who's writing about it? Who's making the determinations? And who's showing the connections? And all of this, and why can't the government do that? Isn't that its job? I don't know, because Todd Blanch is apparently, you know, he's with Ghislaine and the thing. And I want someone to ask him to his face, did you hook up with Ghislaine Maxwell while you were there? Because it seems like you guys had a little chemistry going.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding. I want somebody to ask him that just to see how he responds. And then it's just, I can't believe that it were like, God, it's so frustrating. Like, what he already did is enough.
Yeah, I know. I know.
He led an insurrection. That was almost successful, at which police officers died. People died in the insurrection. He presided and he weaponized and monetized a pandemic response. And about a third of a million Americans died who wouldn't have died if he had not done that, by many estimates. His record of pardoning people who do not deserve pardons is shameful. And nobody fucking talks about that. And this drives me nuts because it's not political. I think anybody who even takes 5 minutes to look into the pardons would be appalled at these people that he's pardoned. He's done all of that. He invaded a foreign country for no reason. He's threatening Greenland. Forget about the emoluments clause. He's flat out taking bribes from foreign countries. Like, all of these things are very illegal and nobody cares. We're just waiting for, well, I know you did all those things, but I need the next thing to happen. Well, what's the next thing? There's only so many more things that it can be that are going to be, you know, at this point, I think he's right. I think he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and get away with it. For all we know, he did. Maybe he said that because that's what happened. Maybe that's what's in the file. A video of that, you know. The only thing, and I wrote about this too, trying to just in a speculative way get to what would it take, if anything, what would be so bad that would make him, first of all, fear the disclosure of these files in a way that he clearly does? I mean, we can agree on that, right? He's literally, there's thousands of FBI agents who are not fighting crime. They're just eliminating his name from these files and making sure that his shit doesn't come out. And he's delaying and he's this and he's that. And something's in there that he doesn't want out. And he doesn't give a shit about most things. I don't think he cares about, if there was a video in there of him with a 16-year-old, he'd probably be like, great, release it. She's, look at me, I'm such a macho guy. Like, there's something worse than that.
Yeah.
And maybe it's, you know, maybe it is, maybe there's a video of Sasha Riley with the spike and all of that. and, you know, maybe it's that. Maybe it's, you know, it has something to do with the pandemic, you know, and how that story, how that happened or exacerbated or whatever. Maybe he was, my thing, the worst thing that, and election fraud, which seems to be, by the way, something that is coming out now.
Right.
That Epstein was very much involved in fuckery around the 2016 election with Russia, with Peter Thiel, with Cambridge Analytica, with Facebook, and, you know, just like some of us were talking about then at the time.
Yeah.
But clearly nobody cares about that.
No. moved on. We're
the only thing I can think about, the only thing I could think of that could do it, and again, this is just pure speculation and just a me trying to answer that question. Mm-hmm. And I wrote about this. Is it something to do with 9/11? If we found out that Jeffrey Epstein
Had
either was involved with or had foreknowledge of 9/11 and passed that information on to Trump, that would do it.
Yeah.
And it's not impossible. Like, Donald Trump got a tour of the basement of the World Trade Center. He talked about it in the radio call he made, or when he called in the TV show on the day of 9/11. He talked about, I had an engineer walk me through this stuff. Okay. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to hit those buildings, you need blueprints.
Right.
You need technical information.
Wow.
Some of them lives in a cave somewhere, right? He's just in a cave. Can't get that. What does he do? He calls his friend Semyon Mogilevich, Russian mobster, who had sold him the Promise software years ago and who he knows. Mogilevich calls Epstein, which is what would happen. And Epstein says, okay, I'll get you the plans. I know just the guy who can get them. My buddy Donald.
Wow.
And that goes back to that. And then this thing happens and Donald's like, oh shit, I didn't realize that was going to happen, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And again, let me be very clear. This is just me speculating, not even speculating. I'm writing a fantasy. I'm fan
right.
fiction. Okay.
Right.
But you can see that it isn't far-fetched.
Like as Judy Tenuta said, it could happen.
Right. Well, here's the thing. We knew there was chatter around 9/11 in the intelligence services. There are people who knew what was that something was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Okay. If anyone in the United States had any idea about what was going to happen on 9/11, it was Jeffrey Epstein. That I have no doubt. That doesn't mean he did, that he had anything to do with it, any of
just
that.
Just knew. Yeah, but he knew.
If anyone did, he did.
Interesting.
And, you know, then it plays out and you look at other people that are in the thing who cleaned up after 9/11.
Yeah.
Manafort Brothers Construction. Giuliani is in them. Who didn't go to work that day and all his employees died. Howard Lutnick, right? Same names pop up, you know. And again, I am not saying anything other than pointing out connections here and trying to speculate what's in these fucking files that's so terrible that because I don't think it has anything to do with the children or the rapes or the sex trafficking.
Interesting.
Oh, I think it has to do with other things.
Hmm.
And that's what Trump isn't afraid of that, of the other stuff. He's not afraid of the sex trade. He knows these people don't care.
Yeah.
These people don't care. They've already, you know, so I thought about this for months and that's that to me is the worst thing that I could come up with.
Wow.
And if you can come up with anything else, let me know, you know, but I can't.
I will, but I don't have your mind, so I probably won't. But I want to, before we go, I just want to throw this one idea out there because it's a pet peeve of mine. Back in the first term, I was really curious about Melania, and I wondered if Trump purchased her. And, you know, I talked to a feminist on my podcast who kind of didn't want to hear it. She just decided that Melania was a fucking bitch and fuck her, I don't care. And, you know, I think Melania is a fucking bitch, and I think that she makes awful choices. But I recently just read, now I think this is true. You know, I saw it online. I didn't go to the Epstein files to make sure. But there was, I guess, an email from Sunyi to some, do you know the Sunyi thing?
I knew that she sent an email to somebody, but I didn't look at it yet.
Yeah, I don't know who the email was. I don't know if it was Epstein, but whatever it was Sunyi was shaming a 15-year-old basically for being raped. And I thought about it, you know, I mean, and it's like it pisses you off when if this is true and if she, like, shame on that girl for throwing herself at that man. It was kind of that tone. And I just thought, okay, this is coming, if this is true, this is coming from a girl who was groomed by her stepfather and married her stepfather, basically, and is still with him. So we can, you know, we can sit here and point our finger and say, what a fucking bitch. She's blaming a victim. But she was a victim. She was groomed. And I look at somebody like Melania or any of these people, and I wonder about them. And it's like, take out your... Because what I see, if I even ask this online, so many people want to shoot me down and say, well, she's a fucking bitch, I don't care. And I feel like if we're ever, ever going to solve problems that plague us now, we have to realize how we got here instead of just hating on people. Which, I mean, Melania chose to wear that fucking jacket that said she didn't care when she went to, you know, having to do with mm-hmm. those children. So we all know that she's a fucking greedy bitch. Put all that aside for right now. And I don't know, you know, we don't know a lot about her. We know what we've been told about her. We know that her father is like Trump. It said in the Epstein files that Melania was introduced to Trump by Epstein. And I guess the rumors are that she was fucking Epstein first. Whatever. I don't know, but it's like some of these women in this, you know, human sex trafficking global ring, I just, you know, I feel like whether or not their behavior now is abhorrent, I really wonder about them. And I just can't stand it when I want to kind of play it out on social media that the first reaction is just to write somebody off because they're a bitch and not to say, yeah, there's a psychology behind it. Maybe if we understood the psychology and if we understood what was really going on, we could do more things to prevent it. And so I'm just bitching right now because I just feel like I can't be nuanced like that online because people just want to yell at me because they want to hate Melania. And you know what? I don't like Melania either. I don't hate her because I don't see the point in hating anybody. I hate what people do. But I feel like, you know, what she is doing is fucking awful and she's aiding and abetting this fascist. And I mean, she could have a lot of power right now and just come out and tell everybody the truth. But she, you know, for whatever reason, she's not going to do that. But I don't know. I don't know if I'm making my point. I just wish people were a little bit more open at examining instead of rushing to emotion, because that's not necessarily going to help us. So there's my piece. I said it.
I'm going to not say anything about Melania because I don't want us to get sued. Because she'll sue. You know, she's very litigious.
Yes, I know she is.
I will say that. She came to the United States in August of 1996 with her buddy Paolo Zampoli, last seen calling ICE on his longtime ex-girlfriend, allegedly. Mm-hmm. Whatever, that whole story is awful and paints Melania in a not very kind mm-hmm. light. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but then there was some speculation that maybe that date was inaccurate. Hmm. And anybody that has gone on record saying that is who she comes after. So, you know, I'm here to tell you that she came in August of 1996, never been in the United States before that. So let's be very clear that that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm just letting you know that that's where the controversy is.
Okay.
And the other thing about her that you have to, your listeners should know is there's Mary Jordan wrote a biography about Melania. Pulitzer Prize winner. I think that's her name. And my friend Nina Burley also wrote a book about the Trump women. And both of them were in Slovenia doing research into Melania. And Mary Jordan was like, I've written about drug cartels. I've written about spies. I've written about... She's like, I've never had it be harder to find out information about somebody than about Melania.
Interesting.
And Nina said the same problem. Like, people were like, no, I can't talk about this.
Yeah.
They were afraid. So they'd clearly been told not to say anything. So, you know, this is just more data points.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, but I, and my whole thing about Melania, I claim to know absolutely nothing. And I mean,
she was there. She was there when Trump and Epstein were doing shit.
She was absolutely there.
Yeah. She's literally in a Trump Epstein sandwich in that one photo.
Yeah. Yes. So, and so, yeah. I you know, I mean, I know then that there's the whole Fergie thing, which we're not even going to get into it. But if you're following anything about Fergie and Epstein, it's like, oh my God, these fucking royals. Oh, you know, it's always disappointing. People in power are always going to disappoint you. And, you know, that's just the way it is. It's like, I don't want to know any fucking more information about Mick Jagger because I love the Rolling Stones and I just don't want to know anything else about that man. Because I want to keep liking that music.
No, when I saw him go to the Bezos wedding, I just covered my ears and went, me, 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 me.
Yeah, and I thought about that because when I saw that, it was a picture of Bill Clinton and Mick Jagger, and there was a young woman in between, or a shorter woman. I don't know how old she was because they blanked out her face. But I did think, because there was also pictures of Michael Jackson there with his kids, and I absolutely guarantee Michael Jackson, you know, he had his own allegations and whatnot, but nothing was happening in that time. You know, he brought his kids, obviously. So there were, you know, I think that there were people that, you know, like, okay, I'm not going to get into the Michael Jackson thing right now, but I will just say, let's just say, for argument's sake, if he were guilty, there would be, you know, Macaulay Culkin said nothing happened. There's always going to be somebody they don't hurt. In order to have that, you know, somebody's going to come and say, oh, nothing ever happened to me. I never saw them behave that way. So then it's plausible deniability. And, you know, it looks like, well, I don't do that. But regardless, I think that with what is the point I'm trying to make here? I'm going off into a tangent and I'm forgetting myself again because FYI, I've been taking cold medicine and, you know, it makes my brain a little foggy. So. Because Bob was sick all last week and then I was feeling like I was sick. But ultimately, there's plausible deniability in all of this. And not every single person is going to be a victim. Not every single person. And I guess I'll go back to Melania and say, I think that whether it's Melania or whether it's Sunyi or any of, like, I mean, I'm trying to think of specific women. Those two are popping off. But it's like, I don't know what to believe. But what I do believe is these people came from a certain lifestyle. Okay, like, you know, you look at a Trump supporter and they grow up in a religious circumstance. They're indoctrinated into their religion. Maybe they're like evangelical Christians and they're taught to believe certain things that aren't necessarily true, but they believe it and they live by those. And then here comes Trump and then they hear from their family and their friends and their church. And so it's like you get wrapped up in this world. And it's very easy for someone like me to point my finger and say, well, you should be this way. You shouldn't do that. You should be a better person. But when their entire world is organized in that way, they don't even see that. It's like somebody like Melania, somebody like Sunyi is not looking at the world like I'm looking at it. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think I'm going off into several tangents, but it's like, I feel like I don't understand why people are so quick to dismiss the psychology and head straight to I'm angry and I want to point my finger. I get we all want to blame. And Melania and, you know, Sunyi and all of these women and all the women that are involved in I don't know what the fuck is wrong with Ghislaine Maxwell. Like, I don't know what happened in her life that made her that, or I don't know if she was born that way. I don't know any of it.
Well, her father's pretty awful. Her father was pretty awful.
Okay, well, there you go. And it's like, so these people are you know, raised in these situations, and it's not like I'm forgiving them. It's not like I'm saying, oh, well, they had a hard childhood, so we should forgive them or look the other way. Of course not. If they committed crimes, they need to pay like everyone else. But, you know, the last thing I'll say about this is, I just find Jeffrey Dahmer so fascinating out of all of the serial killers that I'm aware of, because when he was asked in prison, you know, about his condition or compulsion or whatever, he said, look, I have the compulsion and I don't like it. And I need to be in here because if I'm let out, I'm going to do it again. And I think he genuinely hated that side of himself, but he was unable to stop it. And he said it. He's like, I can't stop it. And he didn't really even have compassion for the people he killed. He felt he loved them in his own fucked up way. But it was like when they died, he just was a little like detached, you know? And I feel like, okay, so you take a look at someone like him and he absolutely deserved to be in prison. But when you compare him to somebody like, I don't know if everybody's going to know this particular guy, but you know, the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez, I remember him well because I lived in California and he was fucking evil as shit. And when he was interviewed, when you just see him on an interview, there was this evil coming off of him and he like delighted in what he did, where you look at Jeffrey Dahmer and he did not delight in it. He said, this is how I am and I don't like it, but I can't stop myself. And so there are psychologies there. And it's not like there's one good serial killer and one bad serial killer. They're both fucking bad. But when you you know, it sucks because the Jeffrey Dahmer's father did not allow his brain to be, you know, they didn't donate his brain to science, which his mother wanted. Because maybe we could have figured some things out about his brain. And that's the whole fucking point. It's like, let's figure out how people get there. And then if we figure out how they get there, maybe we can start doing things in our cultures to prevent that. And that's always my point. And I just wish people were a little bit more open when it comes to stuff like that. Because it's like, yeah, you can still be angry at Melania. You can still have all your anger and hatred and whatever you want to have. But we could also look at, okay, well, let's just, how do doctors look at it? They don't get all emotional. They have to separate their emotions and then they get down to the crux of it and then maybe they can solve it. So anyway, there's my, like I said, that's my rant. And I don't know if I completely veered off from what you said because I just don't fucking brain fog, but whatever.
I don't know. You know, the only serial killer I know is Donald Trump's good friend, Hannibal Lecter. a census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti. I have nothing to say about serial killers. I will say, you know, what you're talking about is that people have empathy for other humans. And yeah, when I look at anybody, no matter who it is, I have empathy and I try to give them the benefit of the doubt in my brain. Because partly that's how I'm wired, but partly it's because I'm a fiction writer and it's interesting to me to understand what makes people tick and all that kind of stuff. But you know, I think it really just boils down to, I want to commune with this person. I want to find the commonality that I have with this person.
Yeah.
What is it that I have in common with X? And what can I learn about myself from that? So, you know, but Melania, I think people have given her a pass in a lot of ways. I feel like she has gotten less opprobrium than she deserves from being part of this whole Epstein thing.
Yeah.
She was there.
I agree with you. She was
there for years. I haven't heard any, I saw a note in the Epstein files where she was very nice to Ghislaine, but I haven't heard any, her going to bat for any of the victims. Last I heard, she refused to go to the bat for one of the victims. So, you know, what's that all about?
I know.
I think she could blow this up. I think Ivanka could blow it up probably. Mm-hmm. She knows shit that we might find out about or not. There are people in the know who could actually, you know, have a press conference and blow this to smithereens, and they're not doing it.
They're not doing
And Melania is one of those people. And the fact that the dump came out while they had the movie premiere at the White House is so funny to me. It's so good. I want to make one more Epstein point, if yes. I may, because it's about this thing you said before about Clinton and Trump and, you know, all that. I'm not saying Clinton is innocent, but Epstein is a guy who clearly liked to have his picture taken with a lot of people.
That's what I was talking about. Yes.
Maria Butina's like that. Remember the Russian spy girl?
Yes. Yes.
So there's pictures of, there's that picture of Elon Musk and Ghislaine Maxwell, mm-hmm. right? Ghislaine Maxwell liked to have her picture taken with famous people. So just because there's a picture of,
right.
you know, this person with somebody else at some event that is a public event or whatever, that doesn't mean anything. It just doesn't. And, you know, just to throw that out there, because I think people see pictures and they sort of go all, you know, I don't like Rick Santorum at all, but he had his picture taken once with Maria Butina and people constantly were giving him shit about it. It's like, she was just there and asked to have her picture taken. Like,
right.
That's all that was.
That's the point I forgot I was making. It was the Mick Jagger, Bill Clinton thing. Right. So, yeah, I mean, they could have just been for fundraisers.
Yeah, yeah. Clinton, in his statement, I don't know if it was in his statement or if it was some other thing that he said recently, which was, you know, with Epstein, once you found out, there was a moment when everybody found out. Mm-hmm. And there are people that left and there are people that stayed. Mm-hmm. And Clinton was like, I left mm-hmm. at that time. But these people, lots of people stayed.
Yeah.
Why did they stay? You know, why yeah. is JP Morgan all up in this stuff? There's so many, you know, why do people stay with this guy who's clearly an evil person in every way that, you know, that we've seen. So anyway, it's just like, Kevin Spacey's name comes up a lot, for example. Kevin Spacey, there's a lot of things not to like about Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
He's friends with Bill Clinton, and Bill Clinton was like, hey, we're doing this peace trip to Africa. I can't really, I've asked some people, I got shot down, you want to go? And he's like, great, sure, I'll go. Now, it turns out Epstein's flying the plane there, and if you're a person, and you know an ex-president, and he says, hey, come on this trip with
right.
me, you're not going to say, mm-hmm. you know, I'd like to take the trip, but I don't know, the guy whose plane we're riding on feels a little dodgy to me. Like, nobody would do that.
Yeah.
That's why it's one of the reasons Epstein was so effective. He was able to get all of these people to trust Washington. I lived in New York City from 1995 to 2005 for 10 years. If somebody called me, in the late 90s, early aughts, before all the stuff came out about him, before anybody even knew who he was, Epstein, and they said, hey, I'm going to this dinner party at this swanky right, Upper exactly. East Side mansion, and Woody Allen's going to be there, and, you know, such and such is going to be there, and do you want to go? I would not be like, I don't know, I better vet the guy who's...
I know, right?
I'm just going to the event. So, like, and I'm, you know, it's funny, but it's also, that's how a lot of this happened.
Yeah.
That's how people got, that's how we got in the room with people. Mm-hmm. You're not, if fucking Bill Clinton is, if the president of the United States can't vet a guy, I'm supposed to? Like, you know,
right, yeah. That,
like, at least initially, but once, like Clinton said, once you found out, and there was a moment when everyone found out, mm-hmm. if you didn't abandon him then, those are the people that are the problem. So I want to just throw that out there. You know, Kevin Spacey is not the villain in this story. He's the villain in others.
Others,
you
know? Right. Yeah.
Yeah. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. I know we could probably just go on, but I need to let you go and finish your day. I just, first of all, once again, want to thank you for agreeing to be on. I love talking to you. I love your mind. And whenever I do a show with you, I always am excited. I can't say that about every guest, but I'm always excited to talk to you because I know it's going to be fun. So, and you know, I know, just tell everybody where to find you. I always do this.
Thank you for saying that. I'm always going to come on your show. I love talking. You know that. It's only about if I'm free or not. Or
well, that's
always...
what I mean. I mean, I figured you'd be tired and, you know.
No, I'm fine. I was a little bit, I was a little bit angry during the beginning of the, so I apologize for that. I was less funny than usual, but I am frustrated. I am frustrated.
Well,
by
yeah,
all
I think we and, all are.
You know, and it's just, I'm not going to lie to people and say that I'm doing okay when I feel the way that I feel. So
yeah.
Anyway, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure. And yeah, like I said, I'm on Substack. It's gregoliar.substack.com. Go check out my, I have lots of stuff about Epstein on there. I go into the weeds a lot with it. I have a live YouTube show that I do on Friday night with my friend Stephanie Koff called The 5-8. It's 8 p.m.
And she's a brain. Eastern Standard Time. She's a brain.
She is a brain. This is also right in her bailiwick. We're going to do a big, we're going to talk about Epstein a lot this week. I have a podcast, an occasional podcast of my own that sometimes I do now these days, as you know. And I got a bunch of books. So I think if you go to gregoliar.com, there's like a big linky thing there that
there's just a wealth of knowledge. So everybody go to gregoliar.com.
Can I tell you a funny thing real quick before we go? It's not even funny. So I was at Christmas and my niece and nephew were there who were, what are they, 22, 23, 20, whatever they are. And they said, they were asking me like, how many books have you written? I was like, I was trying to remember. I'm like, I don't know, six, seven. And they both, I mean, they laughed so hard. They were like crying. Cause I said six, seven unknowingly like that. You know, the six, seven thing.
No.
You don't know 6-7?
Oh, no. My God.
Okay, Google it when I'm done.
Okay.
and actually, better yet, don't waste the time. It's like 420 or one of these weird internet dumb things that nobody understands. But they laugh so hard it was like crazy, crazy, crazy. So
that is funny.
I mean, it isn't that. But anyway, so I've written a bunch of six or seven possibly books that you can also go check out.
So go read Greg Oliar's six or seven books. Either one. It'll be worth your time. But thank you so much, Greg. And I know I'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Moji Alawodeyal from the Feminist Buzzkills Live Pod, the only podcast that helps you navigate the news in this post-Roe anti-abortion hellscape. Each week, with co-host Liz Winstead, we dissect all the news from that sketchy intersection of abortion and misogyny with providers and activists working on the ground. The cherry on top is we have amazing comedy guests who help us laugh through the rage. Feminist Buzzkills Live drops Fridays wherever you pod. Listen and subscribe, because when BS is popping, we pop off.
History is messy. It's weird, wild, and anything but boring. Rainy Day Rabbit Holes is a history podcast about unhinged stories that make you stop and ask, wait, is this real life?
From crazy disasters and tasty scandals to enlightening and surprising heartwarming tales, we explore the moments where people behave badly and sometimes beautifully.
We've got naughty politicians, cultural chaos, and a deep love for the Pacific Northwest, including Bigfoot.
It's thoughtful, irreverent, occasionally serious, and always entertaining.
Let's fall down the rabbit hole.
MSW Media.